Ever feel like your WordPress site is moving in slow motion? Switch to Kinsta's Managed Hosting for WordPress and watch it fly. Host your site on Google Cloud's fastest servers with worldwide data centers so your pages load instantly. Need help? WordPress experts respond in under 2 minutes and will migrate to your site for free. Try it yourself. First month free at Kinsta.com. That's Kinsta.com. Kinsta. Simply better hosting.
Welcome to the Inspirational Living Podcast. Today's reading was edited and adapted from The Wonders of Life by Ida Lyon, published in 1910. We idly remark that we are creatures of habit, and so dismiss the matter from our minds. The vastness of this great truth simply does not impress us. But there is infinitely more to this matter of habit than we have suspected. It is a great law, one of the primary laws of life. The question of forming habits is the one question which is of the most vital importance to us, since we are, of necessity, constantly forming habits which are a power for good or evil. A habit is a dominating power which, when in full control, is master of the situation, and so subtly does it gain control of us that we do not realize what a tremendous power it is until we try to lose ourselves from its grasp. Even then, we do not stop to think what this power is, or the extent to which we are controlled by it. If anyone cares to take an inventory of their habits, they will be amazed at their number and variety. We have been taught that no act performed ends with itself, but leaves in the nerve centers the tendency to do the same thing again. But the immense significance of this truth has not been made apparent to us. We do not stop to consider that it is to habit, this tendency of the nerve centers to do the same thing again, that we owe the ability to walk, to talk, to perform all the simple and common acts of life, as well as whatever accomplishments we possess, and that without habit, we would literally know nothing, do nothing, and be nothing. It will therefore pay us to give close attention to this matter of habit. A power that takes up everything which we begin, and continues it without rhyme or reason, and grows in power as we encourage it, until it completely dominates us, is a power certainly worth studying. It is to habit that we owe the truth of the saying, practice makes perfect. No slight degree of skill can be attained in any other way. The spinal nerve centers soon learn to cause definite movements of the muscles in response to certain afferent stimuli. Thus the musician who at first had to think of their music and the movements of their fingers learns to play the most difficult selections without consciousness of effort. But this matter of acquiring skill through habit does not apply merely to music or other accomplishments. It applies to every act which we perform, and this tendency of the nerve centers to do the same thing again is a fact which affects us vitally. We know how easily habits are formed, but we overlook the fact that most of the acts which we perform, and all in which we are at all skillful, are habitual. When acts become habits, we need to see to it that they are not of a kind to work us injury. One may form a habit of overeating or shopping beyond one's means. We call it a compulsive disorder, but it is only another name for habit. Habit is an unreasoning power and looks to the brain centers for direction. But these centers are often irresponsible, weak, and incapable of providing control, thus become controlled by the habit. It is not so much circumstances or temperament that makes us ill-natured or good-natured, as it is habit. Anyone can cultivate whatever habits they desire if their desire is strong enough, for it is the office of the higher nerve centers to inhibit or control the lower centers of force, which act according to direction and with the most faithfulness and efficiency. These centers never reply, "I can't," when they receive orders, if their cells are uninjured and the nerves are able to carry their messages to the muscles. They go to work immediately to bring about the necessary movements with soldierly obedience, and like the soldier, they obey unquestioningly. Theirs is not to make a reply nor reason why, and if ordered to carry us into the jaws of death, into the mouth of hell, they will obey as unflinchingly as did the noble 600. It behooves us, then, to be careful what commissions we give these dauntless soldiers to carry out. The reasoning must be done by the nerve centers higher in authority. An army with a weak and incapable commander is a menace to the safety of a nation. These statements I am making now with regard to our marvelous powers of achievements may appear to many to be extravagant and ridiculous, but they are supported by physiological facts. When a desire becomes a habit, it is strong enough and persistent enough to be a power that will force the nerve centers to form plans and carry them out until that desire has been realized. The fact that help comes in unexpected ways and from unexpected sources, seemingly by chance, is due to certain laws of physics. If a desire is fitful and weak, it does not hold the nerve centers to continued effort, and there can then be no definite results. If a desire is strong and sure, results will be attained much sooner than if persistent but lacking in intensity. It is habit that does things, whether it be habit of thought or action, and we grow in power to act and to think by acting, by thinking until those acts and thoughts have become habits. The slave of an undesirable habit often says, "If only I had not begun." It is right at the beginning that habit slowly but surely draws us into its meshes. It is a case of, "Will you walk into my parlor?" as the spider trapped the unwary fly with cajolery and tempting descriptions of the delights awaiting it. And like the spider, habit, when we have stupidly entangled ourselves in its web, tauntingly asks, "Will you walk out, Mr. Fly?" In our ignorance of the action of our nerve centers and unheeding the tendency to do the same thing again which characterizes them, we allow habit to grow and grow in power until we are its cringing servants. We are indeed creatures of habit. From the beginning of life, habit begins to take upon itself the management of our affairs, our actions, our thoughts, and feelings. The brain centers put them at work, and it is their office to continue that work. It is thus only through habit that we acquire power, either physical or intellectual, and we cannot profitably acquire one and neglect the other, for the body and mind should always maintain a balance of power. The secret of all power via habit is in the overcoming, It need not be a great obstacle, but simply one which bars some type of progress. Power is indeed the inevitable result of overcoming. It is a law of nature. The word power implies the ability to overcome resistance, and power always seeks to express itself in this way. We grow in power by using all that we have. It may be ever so little, but when we have used it to overcome something, we have gained in power and can more easily overcome the next obstacle which opposes our progress. We can always go on to greater things when we have made a beginning. I wish I could make this idea so forcible that its truth and importance would take root in the minds of everyone who hears these words. We can always go on toward any end we have in view, or toward any object we may desire to possess, when we have established a beginning. It is a mistake to think that, because we cannot do all that we wish, or achieve great victories, we are wasting our lives in worthless trivialities. Most of us have no very definite idea of any particular goal toward which we are making our way. We should, however, come to an understanding with ourselves and determine what it is that we most strongly desire. That is the first step. The next is to overcome some obstacle that is in our path. It may be a very small one, and seem too trifling to be of any consequence. But in this overcoming we have gained power. We can always go on when we have made this beginning. It is in overcoming little things that we grow in power to overcome great obstacles. We know that our bodily powers grow stronger with intelligent use, and the same rule applies to our soul powers, which are equally natural and governed by natural laws. If we want to become strong physically, we must care for our bodies in every possible way, and give them such exercise as will best develop their powers. But we possess a strength which transcends mere bodily mechanical power. Soul power, though a form of energy, differs from the mechanical energy which we exert in using physical strength. A person with a sledgehammer can do much, but an electrician can do more, for they are in command of a form of energy which gives them greater power. Our soul powers, though invisible, are as real as electricity. We know that we possess them in the same way that we know that electricity exists, by observing the results of their action. Every thrill of the nerves, every throb of the heart, is an evidence of power. Soul power, like electricity, is subtle, invisible, and dangerous. The deaths caused each year by electricity are insignificant in comparison with those caused by the ignorant use of those inner forces which we call soul powers. These powers are so intimately connected with the body that its condition determines their effectiveness. No one has ever fathomed the depths of this soul power. For as we use all the power we have in our possession, more power is added, and by using all that we then have, we gain more power. None can say that they have become so strong in mental and spiritual power that they have not felt that, back of all that they have acquired, is more and more and still more power. If we would gain power, we must begin by overcoming something. It may be a trifling bad habit, a habit of thinking or feeling or speaking unkindly of someone. It may be a tendency to frown or wrinkle the forehead. but when we have overcome it, we can go on with increased strength. Every victory, however slight, is an added power, and we gain momentum as we proceed. We gain confidence with the consciousness of added strength, and if we keep on in the direction of the magnet, which is our heart's desire, there is no reason why we may not reach any height of success or happiness to which we lift our eyes. It is necessary to have some high purpose or object in view as we establish a beginning and keep joyfully and persistently on the road to success, overcoming whatever obstacles we can, and thus constantly gaining in power, until we are strong enough to overcome the great and seemingly insurmountable difficulties that lie between us and our heart's desire. We shall thus experience not only the joy of going on, but the joy of overcoming. The law of progression is the cause of our restless soul, of our desire to go on and ever on to greater achievements. The scholar desires more knowledge, the multimillionaire more wealth, the artist greater skill. We all feel that back of that which we possess is more and yet more, that there is no possibility of exhausting the supply. The human body is an amazing organism, and our minds are composed of millions of brain cells that we only partially use. We therefore need not be afraid to aspire to anything we may desire, or fear to reach the end of knowledge or of power. Eternity is assured, for energy is indestructible and is always doing work. The end of one thing is the beginning of another. We cannot afford to despair when we fail in our undertakings. There is always a future in which we can reach the success we have missed through the mistakes of the past. Success does not consist in not making mistakes, but in not making the same one a second time. Even though we have made the same mistake many times, we may still succeed if we set about it earnestly and in the right way. What is the right way? There is but one. If we would acquire the power to surmount great difficulties, we must begin at the beginning and grow in power as we forge ahead.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.